listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and
Good
Dr.
evening
Vicky
and
Hunter.
Welcome to the Spirit of Life broadcast for Wednesday, November 25th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. And 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. Finally, 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And on to tonight's topic, attracting love and abundance in life. I'm looking forward to this one. And we actually have one of our community to thank for this, too. This is a great topic, and big thank you to Jamil Johnson for this topic.
Yes, indeed. Specifically and, asking how you attract love and abundance in your life.
And, you know, as I promised, Dr. Hunter, I'm going to just, you know, throw you under the bus first and just say, so how do you think we should start this topic?
You know, this is, honestly, I always say that this is a really tricky subject. And let's begin with, does like attract like? Yes. Do we attract more of our own energy? Yes. There's no question about that. The key here is knowing who you are. Okay, so that's it. Knowing who you are and what your energy is and what your frequency is and how you move that energy forward. So that's huge. However, the disclaimer here has to be, and I have to get this right off the top, everybody has their own ride in a lifetime. So, I mean, we can't say certain things to people who live in war-torn countries or impoverished countries. Like, there are casualties to people having an extraordinary amount of abundance, for instance. And those people, no matter how positive they become or what they put out there, I mean, their casualties. So, and right now, and this is where we have to preface this show also with the enormity of suffering at the moment. And these are not circumstances people ask for. And there's nothing in somebody's energy that you can say, oh, well, you didn't attract abundance. You know, it's so, you know, so we have to be really careful. I always say about how we have this kind of discussion. I impart this to everybody who practices in metaphysics, people who are pursuing a spiritual journey and want to understand, you know, the law of attraction. And that's why I wrote the Advanced Law of Attraction, that there's many layers of life happening simultaneously. And you can't just say, oh, well, I'm going to have a positive thought and put that out there. Ordinarily, what people do is they project for something they don't have. Well, I don't have this. So it starts out with a negative energy to begin with. And that's really important to note. So the law of attraction, when you're going to put that, you know, out there, an energy frequency out there, and even Dr. Kelly writes about this in his courses, that, you know, you can't say, well, I don't have any money, so I need money, I have to attract money. It's a momentum of a positivity of your regard for that. But even then, you got your own ride. So I'd like to say that there's, especially in indigenous cultures, there is spiritual law, natural law, earth law, and universal law. And they all fall under this umbrella of the one great law. So there's all these levels of energy happening simultaneously. So it's to keep it in balance, and that whatever we're projecting out there for is to keep that, hopefully as a humanity and as part of this collective in the universe, that we keep perspective on that and humanity. So that's how I like to preface this. It's attracting love and abundance. So let's first talk about what is love. I know, Michael, you have some questions about this, and you brought up good points before the program, because there's so many different kinds of love.
True. And, you know, going back to your point that, you know, when it comes to attracting these things into our life, we have a limited control. We only have control of our own actions, and there's a big world going on around us. And you did correctly point out that there are many people that are going through a really rough time, going through horrendous, horrific experiences, and they don't have the opportunity to attract love and abundance. But I will say, for many of these people, it is love of their family, love of their fellow human beings, love of certain things that brings them through this. I think of Syria and the civil defense force there. It's their love of humanity that have these medical rescuers run into places that have been bombed, and they save lives. And it's love that brings that about. Now, to our overall discussion, I completely agree with you in the sense that we have limited control of what we can attract. But I just had that thought while we were talking about it. And when we were talking prior to the broadcast, I was just thinking about how are we going to approach this, because there are many different types of love. We're talking about romantic love, of course, platonic love between friends, and, you know, familial love between your family. So there's a lot of different avenues. And, of course, there's the unique and entirely special, never to be replaced anywhere, between a human and their love of a dog. That is the purest love. Some people will say cats, but they don't love you the same as a dog loves you.
That's true. It's a really good point, Michael. Unconditional, really unconditional love. Well, let's look at what most people, and my experience with readings and counseling in the last number of decades, is most people want to find, when they say, I want to find love in my life, they mean a partner. I want a love partner. Now, but the question then is, how do you define a partner? And who are you and what you attract? Because most people define love based on a need. I need a love in my life. I really feel like I'm ready to start a family. I need somebody, excuse me for being crass, but I need somebody to breed with and have a family. And automatically there's all these assumptions, automatic assumptions that go with it, that somebody will be as devoted as you are, going to have the same interest as you, it's going to treat the children the same way, because, you know, that's what you assume. However, it's attracting more of who you are based on what you need at that time. So defining a partner is really important. And I don't mean just write down your list of qualities, because it's really about you resonating with someone who partners with you. Now, again, my disclaimer on this is everybody's got their own ride. You know, Edward has really clearly said in the chat room, abundance is relative to one's own consciousness, but so is love. And so thanks for saying that, Edward. That's really brilliant. So it's when you think you're in love, when you feel you're in love, you know, what kind of love is that? Is it truly a partnership, and is it healthy? And I think that most anybody can find love. Anybody can find love. There's all kinds of love to experience in relationships, but how do you define that? So that's going to be your first start point. If love is what you want to attract in your life, and I don't think that it matters that we're all in a pandemic and, you know, people are in isolation or, you know, being sensibly distancing. If there's a connection for you to have universally and that energy is there, then you'll connect. But that's the next question is, would you recognize it if you saw it? So this is, when it comes to attracting love, one has to be really awake to who you are and what it is that defines you in a matter of love. And would you be open to receiving love and giving love? And what do you bring to the table? What do they bring to the table? You know, even if you saw it, would you know it? So that's, to me, a really important element of love. I had a woman, what comes to mind, I had a woman sit with me once and she said, I want to know if I'm going to have a relationship. And I said, well, of course you are. She, oh, am I? I said, of course you are. You're going to have lots of relationships. And she said, no, I want a relationship. I said, but you're in one now. Well, no, but that's not the same. What I want. So you have to define what you want, because you're in a relationship now, but you're really saying to me between the lines, it's not enough for you. You want a different kind of relationship, but you're in the relationship that you want today. So it's about clearing the energy away and what kind of relationship do you want? So it's being really clear. The universe doesn't paraphrase. It's very succinct and exact. So here's my kind of, you want to call it a prayer, you want to call it a meditation, you want to call it a projection, it doesn't matter what you want to call it, but here's what you can say to yourself. I am now ready, willing, and open to attract a partner into my life who is on the same vibrational frequency as myself. And then allow it to be. But stay awake to who you are. You know, and so you're open to attracting someone into your life in the same vibrational frequency as yourself. And then be patient. That's the other thing. A lot of people are not patient because we live in a world of instant gratification, so you want it right now. Some people's lives are what we call late bloomers, you know, and it comes later in life. And why does that happen? I don't know. It's everybody's got their own ride. Mm-hmm. Some people, as one, bless her heart, she's gone now, my old teacher's best friend, Alice, she was married, had three wonderful boys, man, a great husband who was killed in a car accident. That was back in the late 60s. She never married again. And I asked her, why didn't you ever marry again, Alice? And she said, well, I almost did three times. But when you've had the best, everything else pales. Why would I do that to myself? You know, so that's her ride. She says, I have no regrets. I had the best love in the world. I have known love in my life. And that really stuck with me. That
self-awareness. You
know, she's totally aware. And she didn't feel, she didn't go to that place of the negative, Was she sad? Was she devastated? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But she says, I've known the best love in my life. I have no regrets. Like, wow. She carried that love of her husband with her throughout her entire life. And she did amazing things with her life, too, by the way. But
That's really special.
It is. And so it depends how you view it and how you view your life, your own experiences, you know, how you regard love. Could she have married again to have somebody to hang out with if that was important to her? But she said, I have everything. I built my own life here. And she was a very successful businesswoman. She said, I built my own life. I don't need a man to help me financially. So mm-hmm. He better be able to fulfill me and everything else. And it's not there. So I can just have my life and we can hang out together. I don't have to live with him. I don't have to marry him. And that's a really powerful thing from a woman of her era, by the way. But I think it's a really powerful thing for a woman to say even now. But even more powerful when a man can say that unto himself. So no matter the gender, if you know who you are, you know what's required, and you want that feeling of love, and I'm not talking euphoria and, you know, somebody who entertains you and
right.
You know, all of that goes with it.
Well, life is complicated, and there's a lot of different definitions for you know, love and what is right for one person that will differ from person to person. And
I totally agree.
Never really mean to cut you off there or stop your train of thought. Just came to mind.
No, absolutely, you're right, Michael. I can really go on and on about on this topic, so don't hesitate to just cut me off. But this leads us into what's abundant, right?
Right.
And abundance. And again, I love what Dr. Edwards said. Now, I'm going to read it out loud again for the sake of the archives. Abundance is relative to one's own consciousness and your own experiences. So like I say, everybody's got their own ride. And how do you view abundance? Like, how much is enough?
Mm-hmm.
Most people I work with are, I shouldn't even say most these days. A lot of people I work with are comfortable. They right now they have jobs. They got a roof over their head. They got food. They got partners. You know, they have a family. They have a life right now. Now, some of them could be at risk of losing some, but not likely to lose all. Then there are other people who are at risk of losing everything. So what is abundance? Most people who are most afraid of not having enough are the people who already have more than they need.
Right.
And again, hear me about that. It's more than they need. How much do you need?
Is there such a thing as too much love? Of course, again, that is there such a thing as too much romantic love? Well, I don't know if you're talking numerically. Yes, it's going to cause problems unless you have a, you know, special arrangement. But when it comes to, and you know, I think I really love the story about your friend who, you know, went through this process in her life, and what a touching thing to hold on to a memory and really to have something that was so, in its way, there is nothing in this life that is truly pure. Well, I guess that's by definition. There's no such thing as perfection. But then again, some things are just perfect. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you know, she had a relationship that was for her, her ideal. And she didn't need to replace it with anything else. And she had, you know, human relationships, and she had friends, and she had other romantic partners, but it never had to be anything more than what it was. And she knew who she was, and that's, you know, amazing. Key. I think that's exactly, it is key. Yeah. But, you know, I think a lot of what we, or at least how I initially thought about this subject, was just about, you know, a general sense of, you know, love of many things, you know, love of life. How do you attract attracting love and abundance? To me, how I think of it is, yes, romantic love is part of that, but it's a part of the overall picture of your friends and your family and the family that you create through those long-term friends that become family and this network that we create of loved ones. And it's something that we need as human beings, and that if we can, when we bring our behaviors into kind of a more healthy pattern, we will attract the kind of love that is appropriate for us based on our energy, the energy that we're putting out, the vibrational frequencies I think you were alluding to earlier.
Well, and I think, though, a lot of people are loved and deeply. They just don't feel it.
Right.
And it's because we have expectations of what it's supposed to feel like.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be like, or it's supposed to act like.
Oh, and what about low self-esteem? I mean, that will tarnish your perception of how you're actually viewed by other people. You'll think that surely this person doesn't actually think this way or feel this way or mean what they say about this. But, you know, it's... We always think we know more than we do about most things, I think, in life. But when it comes to the intentions of others, that's also true. And oftentimes, you are right in what you said. There is love that we just are not, we're not open to at that moment. You know, we're not aware of it for one reason or another.
Well, I think love is conditional. And like, I can love you, but I can't let you beat me. That's a condition.
Well,
you know, there's certain behavior, certain things. But I go back to, again, I have to give credit where it's due, Dr. Kelly. You know, if it's a matter of principle, you stand firm. It's a matter of preference, yield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you went the toilet paper roll on that way, knock yourself out.
Hey, let's not go too far. There is only one right way. I don't care what, you know, religion, what faith you follow, what side of the aisle you're on in politics, but there is only one right way for the toilet paper. Now that we put that to bed,
hey, better.
We can move on with our topic.
See, it's, you know, we've kind of had this conversation in the past and in past programs too, where, you know, what does it look like? What does it feel like? Do we know it? Do we demand too much of it? So again, when you want to attract more of that, be clear about who you are and the energy you're projecting, and be really honest. That's so critical. Being honest about who you are, what your needs are, and say, oh, am I looking for a need?
Right.
Oh, that one looks really good. Oh, but what do I need? And so it's there. So even with abundance. Now, I mean this sincerely every day. Part of my meditation, and sometimes many times a day, I am ever grateful to have a roof over my head. I have food in the fridge. I have, you know, a family that loves me and I love them dearly. I have friends. I do this program on Wednesday. Could I use a lot more of certain things? Oh, sure. You know, would I love to win the lotto? Sure. That, look, the thing is to live in that gratitude. Then we start to see what abundance is by your own measure of consciousness and your ride. You know, some people are really grateful to find a burger in a dumpster. And, like, that's abundance, folks, you know? So it's relative to your experience. And I'm, especially these days, and some of my clients, I'm reminding them, we got this. We're okay. You've got food,
right.
You've got shelter, and in your case, you have a husband that loves you, you know, you've got a family that you FaceTime with, you've got technology, you got this. And it's just to bring that sense of calm, just that sense of calm, just for a split second to say, I got this. You know what? It is good. And whatever else, you can roll with it. Just roll with all the other things. And, you know, Dr. Edwards writing, I do have to remind myself that I do have a level of abundance, even though I'm not rich by normal societal norms. You know, that's exactly the next point I was going to go into. If we're always comparing ourselves to what others appear to have, then we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's when our idea of abundance gets distorted. You know, it's that distortion of what abundance is. And when life beyond your basic needs, you know, you get your basic needs are met, everything else is extra. And when you are a humanist and you live in that consciousness of being a humanist, you want everybody to have enough. You want there to be fair play, you know, for everyone on the planet. Everyone ought to have food, shelter, health care, you know, education. Every human being is entitled to that. And so if you have those measures of things in your life now, feel the gratitude of that. Would you like more of it? Fair enough.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. Absolutely. But it also means putting out that energy. And we can do well and do good. See, and it's not to feel guilty about doing well. It's how then will you do good? Most people who do really well write checks. People who do good feel bad for doing well. And people who do good, when they do well, they try to distance from being impoverished, distance from their pain. And but the people who do good tend to think less is more. And it's a very interesting thing about how we've developed as a society in the westernized world. You know, well, we're not necessarily great sharers anymore. And
no, I would say, you know, if anything, were we ever, but truth be told, and I don't know how it's ebbed and flowed over time, things change in human society, just as everything changes in life. Mm. But I think back, you know, I correct myself to think back to the fact that the human race exists today because there are more good human beings than bad.
Yep.
If everybody were truly evil, we would not be able to survive. We would not be able to have a functioning society, even a hunter-gatherer type society. We depend on one another for survival. And it was true then more than ever. And there was a great sense of giving and sharing among the community. What I was going to, you know, say about was there might not be always a sense of sharing between two different communities, at least to their perception. Mm. And that's kind of where tribalism comes in. And I think if we kind of evolve to the point where we can batter down those barriers of tribalism, well, that's going to allow us to attract love and greater abundance, because we will be able to break through to a much, you know, greater supply of people. The fact that we can get through these different simplistic barriers, these things that simply don't matter, we would find that there's there's a lot of good things in the world. There's a lot of things to even love about life. Mm-hmm. The Buddha said that we already exist in a paradise. We simply do not realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you were saying, we alluded to this earlier, and that we may have, you know, more love than we realize, and then we also need to ask, what are we looking for? And
Audra has just written, if I can say this, that realizing what you need to survive, and then realizing how much more than that you have, and that's what's always helped her to stay positive and keep things in perspective. Yeah. Sometimes she says she's still upset that she doesn't have what she wants, but she says, I know I have enough. And thanks for sharing that, Audra, because that's the reminder of gratitude. Now, I would then suggest, and everybody do this, remind yourself of how far you've come from where you were a year ago,
mm-hmm.
5 years ago, 10 years ago, however far back you want, and look how enriched you have become in so many ways that are not necessarily measured by material things. See? Mm-hmm. So not necessarily your bank account, but by who you've evolved into and how you've recreated yourself, what you have endured, what you've overcome, what you've lived through. You look back and see, wow, I suffered. And look how that brought me to here. And when you do that, you say, whew, this is good. You know, do I have challenges today? I sure do. But
oh, yeah.
I can take one at a time and roll with it. Because I have survived my life. And yes. I have risen above a lot of things in my life. And I can get through this. I have all the skills. I have the wherewithal. How do I want to attract more? Come from that place of that positive energy. I know this sounds so cliche, new age cliche stuff, but that positive, and build on that in yourself. Continue to expand on more of who you are and what you want to create in yourself, and say, you know, I know some things might suck when I get there to learning some lessons, but I know they're good for me.
Right.
And be okay with that. You know, and just say, I'm growing, and I'm willing to suck that up. I'm willing to face my demons, or I'm willing to, you know.
That's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
You have to accept the challenge head on. And, you know, truthfully, there are challenges that life will place on a human being that no human should have to bear. But that being said, on a more average plane, what is life without challenge?
Yeah.
What is life without something to strive for, you know, things to work out, things to figure out, puzzles to solve? And, you know, there's, you say it's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason when it comes to positivity. It's because if you don't have positivity, you're not going to be open to the possibilities that come before you. So another, you know, general answer to how do you attract love and abundance is to have a positive outlook, a positive attitude. It's going to make your disposition more friendly. It's going to, in a practical sense, open up more doors to friendships, to a romantic partner, if that's what you're currently looking for. It's going to bring you healthier family relationships with those that you can have healthy relationships with. And it's going to allow you to create new family in just pure friendships. So, and when it comes to, you know, cliched new age thinking, you know, don't look down on it too much, Dr. Hunter, because that's really all I have to bring to the table. So,
well, I don't look down on it at all. I just say it's a perspective. And I just, you know, so worry about risking to go off on foo-foo land, you know, because some things are just so enticing, aren't they? They're so seductive, and yet there's a sensibility that has to go with it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I hope everybody has benefited. Get you thinking, well, you know, in this program.
We haven't even gotten... Did we even really go over the topic of a soulmate? What it is? And
we did not.
Yeah.
But
it seems really like lost
quickly,
opportunity.
I'm not so sure that there is one. There's twin souls, soulmates. There's, I think, in my view... I think we're all connected at a soul level. It's how you're going to partner in life. So rather than looking for a soulmate,
mm-hmm.
who could be an alcoholic, a drug abuser, you know, any of those other things, is look for a good partner and look for a emotional, spiritual, you know, mental and physical connection. If you have all that in balance and you can move forward to grow and learn together, share in life together, then you got it made. You got a good thing going on.
I think I really like the way you put that, because I truly believe that, you know, there is no such thing as a soulmate that is specifically out there just waiting specifically for you, at least in my opinion. It may look like that when you look back on it, because yes, your soulmate may be out there, but a soulmate is somebody a soulmate is created over time. You have to have a real and meaningful love that grows over time, and then you grow into that. And
it grows deeper.
Exactly. So that's why I think, is there any one person for anybody, you know, is your soulmate just happen to be this, you know, horrible individual that has many glaring flaws of you know, addiction and, we'll throw heroin and why not, but
yeah, why not?
But no, it's just interesting things. I think you had even made an interesting point, which is, you know, on metaphysical grounds, if you have that concept, perhaps your soulmate's not even in this plane of existence right now.
True.
Which is an interesting idea, I thought. But and just like that, we've we've covered a lot of ground and run out of time, yeah.
Yeah, who would like a card? Anybody like a card? We'll pull cards, will we, Michael?
Oh, I guess.
Yeah.
It's the thing to do. And we'll just kind of fill air while we're waiting for people to catch up in the chat. Because there's a little bit of a delay, but...
Well, we encourage humor, everybody. These are really hard days.
Yes.
And please do your best to see the lighter side of something. You know, get one of those little, you know, I don't know, comedic comic books for your bathroom and, you know, have a moment of, you know, just having a chuckle or something. I don't know. Find a way to bring a little bit of light into your life with some humor.
Yeah. Watch The Simpsons. No sponsorship.
Michael was watching The Simpsons before we...
Don't tell them what I'm doing, Dr. Hunter. They can't know.
Well, he asked me, like that, like those kinds of shows, and I said no, I never watched them, but I sure liked ones like the dinosaurs. You know, I thought that was brilliant.
That's a blast from the past and an instant classic, but not a cartoon comedy.
Yeah.
But, anyway,
I know, but I like those.
It's
things.
A great point. You have to let humor and joy into your life. Another part of attracting love into your life. But we do have names flooding in.
We do. So let's get to it. Fran, I think, is at the top of the list. Nice to see you here, Fran.
It is. It is. And I always love pulling a card for Fran.
Yep.
And number 43, expediency.
Ooh,
interesting. I don't know that we pulled that one in quite some time. And timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem... You can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avail, and wisdom to know when to slow down and to assess the correct action before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, Fran, the Two of Diamonds, Two of Pentacles, tarot language comes up alongside expediency. So I'm going to say that there's a question here about finances. It's saying keep it in balance, that whatever you might be putting out there by way of money, it's just saying make sure that there is a balance of things. Like, in other words, don't get too far ahead. Know when to step forward, know when to come back, know when to maybe stay quiet when it comes to even investments or where you think you want to spend your money. So it's just saying here a caution, a sit back for a moment. So, yes, there'll be a moment where you say, yeah, I have to do that. Follow your intuition, especially when it comes to finances. So that's the first time I've come up with an energy like that for you. So it's just an interesting shift. So maybe that's just something that's crossed your mind from time to time. Edward is next. Nice to see you, Dr. Edward. What do you got for Edward, Michael?
Well, I have number 11, awareness.
Ooh.
Right. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, we always like the positive attitude, don't we?
Absolutely.
I got the Jack of Clubs for you, Edward. And, okay, this seems odd, but know who you're talking to is kind of what comes to mind. So it's like when you're reading somebody else's level of awareness, in other words. So if you're having a conversation, don't go too far beyond their level of awareness so you don't lose them, right? So it's being able to connect with somebody and stay on that vibe. So this has everything to do with communication, how you're educating somebody, how you're putting that forward. So, and that gives you a greater awareness also. So it's being observant of others and yourself. Wendy is next. Wendy's got all three of her boys coming home for Thanksgiving this year. Good for you. I know that's going to be awesome. So
very nice. Very happy for you.
And what have we got for Wendy?
Let's see. This one makes an unusually high appearance considering, but it's wild card number one, Paradox.
Oh. Gotta love a paradox.
It is my favorite for the record. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a new set of ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first. And thus, new perspectives are discovered.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, Wendy, is be happy for somebody even if you don't agree. It's interesting. I pull two cards for you. It's a Ten of Spades and the Six of Clubs. And when I see these together, it's like, somebody you really care about. So this is the paradox, right? It's somebody you really care about who's really excited about, and you're thinking, ooh, I'm not so sure I agree with it, or I might have a bad feel about that, but you have to go with the ride and be excited for them anyway. So withholding, it's kind of like that thing of don't give unsolicited advice. It's kind of keep your opinion to yourself and just be really encouraging and understand that even really good things can come from people's journeys in life and what they're learning. And we can't always determine how they're going to learn things. So I hope that makes sense to you. Tabby is next, I think.
I do believe you're correct. That's what I have on my list as well. And I have number 22, Think for Yourself. Let's see. Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs, simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
Yeah, Tabby, I got the Ace of Diamonds. I love that. But it is saying managing your own finances, your own money, knowing what to do with your own money, thinking for yourself, making those decisions that are good for you also. So I'm going to say that put a little bit away for yourself. You may not know what you're going to want later, but it'll be for you. It's having that autonomy, the independence, that sense of, that sense of self that makes you feel more secure. So I hope that makes sense to you, because it has everything to do with your own stability. So thinking for yourself and making those decisions that are right for you. And be okay with that. Yeah. I want to thank everybody for the feedback, Fran, saying, yeah, I should hold off in the living room set. I would say that's true. And because, you might be you want something else that comes up. So, I appreciate that, Fran. That's good. Audra, I think, is next, Michael.
All right. And Audra. I have number 13, Positive Consciousness. Very nice.
Good one.
It is your soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Are you there? Oh, sorry. I thought things cut out there for a minute.
I thought I lost you for a second there.
Yeah, no, we're here. We're good. In positive consciousness, in support of that, five of hearts for Audra. Audra, I see this as just taking inventory for a moment before you move forward. It's like you're reflecting, you're introspective, you know more about what you want. You want to make another new change. And I think this is really good timing for that. And you've got, it's just gather your spirits, if you will, before you move forward. So it's like saying all of you move forward, not part of you move forward. In other words, you can mentally move forward, but you're still emotionally back there. So this is just saying collect all those parts of yourself just for a moment. And gather all those parts so they're all positive together in unity, and then make that change that you want, because I think you got some really good stuff coming. And again, I think you're doing great anyway, but there's even more. So you're let's say you're crossing another bridge, and this is exciting. Now, new name for me anyway, Kevin, I think is next. Did I get that right?
Yeah, yeah, I have Kevin on my list too. Now,
hi, Kevin. Nice to have you here.
Maybe conflating this, I think we've had Kevin before in Polycarp, but I have.
I'm old.
Well, I might be misremembering, so welcome, Kevin, if you're new. If you're not, welcome back. We're glad to have you.
Yeah.
I pulled number 40, relationships.
Okay.
Coming great off of positivity, really what we're talking about tonight. So, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another. So I hope that applies.
Well, yeah, Kevin, this is about future. How do you see your future? You got the Two of Clubs. How do you see the future? What's your picture? The picture you have in mind. So that's relating to yourself, relating to others, and how do you view it? And in the event of being in a relationship, do you see the future in like-minded? You know, what's that lifestyle? Is it like-minded? How are you moving forward in the future? So it's looking at all your relationships, I think, no matter in what context. And it's, you know, one of those moments where you say, I might have to let go of some people to move forward because that's to my highest good. That doesn't mean you completely sever people. It just means that you can't take everybody with you. You got to have that autonomy again to move forward. So I think you've got this. I think that there's a good balance in there. And again, looking at relationships and the vision you have for your tomorrow. So I hope that makes sense. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Natalie. We have a Natalie next. Welcome, Natalie.
All right. I missed that one on mine, but I have number 36, gratitude. Also perfectly fits into what we were talking about.
Yeah.
On a roll. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when the gratitude is extended. All right.
Now, I got the seven of diamonds, Natalie. I always see the seven of diamonds as a harvest card. You know, it's the end of the summer, you're harvesting the garden, and you're just having that moment to celebrate. Look how far I've come. Look what we have. You know, and again, kind of in keeping with our conversation today, that gratitude for having what you have. But it's also meaning that you're taking inventory about how you want to maneuver through the next winter, so to speak. So what do you have in store? Have you got everything lined up? And, you know, so it's kind of checking on your list to make sure everything's in balance. And what is it that you need to fill in some of the blanks? And that's kind of where I see this right now for you. And do that in a really good positive way, because everything is going to be okay. And you're going to have what you need, you know, for the next coming month. So you got this. Now, I was going back through the chat, and I think I missed Elena. I'm sorry about that. Am I correct? Yeah.
I knew that we had Elena. I just I didn't realize that if Natalie came before or after. And frankly, the chat's so active that it keeps bringing me back to the bottom every time I try to scroll up to find out.
I know.
But we do have Elena, and I have pulled number 32, Sympathy and Empathy.
Oh, interesting.
All right, give me. Let's see. Sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so. So I hope that means something to you.
Well, Elena, in support of sympathy, empathy, I've got the first card of the tarot. I love this myself. It's the Fool, all new beginnings. And it's embarking on new adventures, going forward. This is one of those moments, Elena, that I go by my feelings. It's like that psychic feeling, and my heart feels wet. So there may be some tears, some letting go, perhaps a certain amount of grieving, or a certain energy that is saying to have great compassion for yourself. And that's where I want to go with this, because you're ready to move forward, ready to go, but it's collecting all of your own emotions into one place and being kind to you.
Oh, I think
sympathy is and empathy.
Dr. Holmes, we had you cut out for about 2 or 3 seconds there.
Oh, too bad. I'm sorry. Well, I think getting across the point about having all this compassion for yourself and gathering that energy, Elena, as you move forward. You're about to embark on a new journey. I feel that really clear. So that's awesome. That's exciting.
Very exciting. That is awesome.
So, right. Did we get everybody?
I think we did.
We've had such a good crowd tonight.
We have. We have. And it's been a great discussion. Great topic. So again, thank you to Jamil Johnson for that one. And, I think we just going through chat. Kind of hemming and hawing, can't have dead air, so I'm just going through chat trying to make sure we didn't
That's good,
anything.
That's good. You know, I want to say, I know that this is the U.S. Thanksgiving time,
mm-hmm.
A time for people to get together. I just want to say this, that somebody messaged me just a little while ago asking me questions, saying she was having an argument with somebody who was claiming COVID is a hoax. Mm. And I said, I know of 9 dead people, so not a hoax. And I also said that somebody also told me not long ago, yeah, but they might have been older and had, some pre-existing conditions. I said, oh, so somebody older deserves to die, and even if they have a pre-existing condition, and it's okay that we give them disease so they die? You know, so even if that's the case, which is not everybody,
right.
It's a time to be really responsible and considerate. Hello, the word is Thanksgiving, and it's about celebrating with your family, but being so loving that you want to protect everybody, because we just don't know. And I really want to implore to everyone to encourage yourselves and others to be considerate and responsible, I can't stress that enough, about when you get together with your families. And Stephen says, tell them to visit distantly. You know, we, and yeah, with hospital workers, like nurses and doctors, to be informed of their work reality, that's true. But we have so many wonderful technologies. This is not going to last forever, everybody. It's a temporary moment. And it'll be even more temporary if we're more responsible. And that's just looking out for each other, taking care of each other, doing our very best. And even when you encounter people who say, I don't believe in that, I should be able to do what I want, I don't have to wear a mask, you say, I understand, and then step back.
Because
never mind.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, it is a concept of belief for some people. Because, you know, I would say it shouldn't be categorized as that. It should be categorized as whether or not you acknowledge the facts. But we live in a world where people subscribe to a different reality than many of us. And that's
what we need to do is get back on a collective reality, and I mean at least one of civility and of some moderate amount of respect. And
right.
Even though reality is subjective, no question. Everybody is going to see the world through their own eyes. Fair enough. You're going to have your own beliefs, your own everything. But we can all agree that we're in this together.
Right. We are.
That's
we are in this together.
We
and we can all agree there's only one way to have the toilet paper on the roll.
I knew you'd get that in somewhere, Michael. Oh, this has been a great evening. Thank you very much, everybody.
It has been a great evening. You know, we really did cover a lot of topics regarding, you know, so many different facets of the idea of love and how to attract it and how to attract it in abundance. And, of course, we talked about how that is relative to each person and their situation. And, you know, it's always a good time having a discussion with you, Dr. Hunter, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate everybody that's joining us tonight. And I hope that you join us next week, too, because next week we are going to have a special guest, Dr. Norman Wilson, with us.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, so he's going to be joining us, and his topic is going to be healing the world. So,
I'm up for that.
Yeah, we're going to be able to solve all the world's problems next week, so tune in. It's going to be a good one. So, as always, thank you everybody for joining us, and until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.